Welcome to another episode of Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. Hi, I'm David Stark. I'm a management strategy consultant and author. I'm joined by Justin Royer, who is also a strategist and a service designer and my co-host. Happy New Year, Justin.
Happy New Year, Dave.
All right. Well, we want to let you know that you can join us anytime at davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us on Twitter at Stark Collective and in our LinkedIn group, Business Connected. The great place you can go for all of our podcasts is iTunes, and we'd love to have great reviews if you think about that, but we'd love that. So we're going to jump back into a series we were doing all during Advent, if you will, and that was, what is that? And we covered AI and we covered robotics, and now we're in the middle of IoT, which is Internet of Things. We're going to do a summary program about that today and look at kind of what it means. It was interesting to me, Justin, that one of the lead articles on LinkedIn was this company saying, they do this kind of, get your attention, says, this is the biggest opportunity of all, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they estimate this is going to be $19 trillion. So, it's big.
And that sounds big.
I know.
This is a great time of year for those top 10 lists, too.
It is, isn't it?
But I will say that on all of those lists that I saw on LinkedIn, IoT was in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones were, AI and big data. All right. The other topics that we covered off on with the What Is That series.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. So anyway, I was thinking about this, I'm old enough to remember that when people talked about being smart, right, you were talking about another person, right? You were talking about some kid, right? Or you were talking about your dog or something like that. That was the extent of the word smart, right? It just always applied to living things.
Not toasters.
That's right. Not toasters, mm-hmm. right? And so today, though, a smart is really at the core of IoT. So in other words, you can take anything and make it smart if you want to, right? So, and mm-hmm. we've talked about examples we're not going to mention this year.
Well, we might.
Yes. But, you could make doors smart. You can make your shoes smart, which they already are doing with Nike, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And that changes completely kind of how you go about doing things and how it becomes, most products actually become a product and a service, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a huge, huge thing. And the estimate is, it is $19 trillion. That's the estimate in savings and in revenue in the next few years.
That's amazing.
It was a huge, huge number, right? Mm-hmm. So, and most of the short term, they're thinking, just to repeat it a little bit from before Christmas, B2B is going to be 70% of that. And just to blitz sort of the major topics, right? Factories in an extended way, it's going to manufacturing. In the back half of the show, we're going to talk about agriculture and how it's hitting that, health environments. Obviously, mining, oil, gas, construction, automotive. We're going to use an example around that. Insurance, utilities, cities. It just goes on and on. Defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And I was going to say, one of the things that's exciting to me about IoT in general is that even though, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, it has a product centricity. Like IoT is Internet of Things, which means it's a tangible, product type thing. But as a service designer, I get excited about it because you can't do IoT well without thinking about that in terms of a service context.
Yes.
And so that's where a lot of organizations are seeing that, saying, hey, we're not just in the business of building things anymore, but we're in the business of delivering services now that everything's connected. So it's an exciting time, I think, to kind of be in the space.
It really is. And of course, in the human body image, we're talking about the sensory system. I'm talking about sensory being everywhere and what that means. But then going through to a series of manufacturers, and we're going to kind of talk about. But so let's get into kind of what happens here with FedEx. So we can look at how a package in IoT kind of informs that whole process, right?
This is our version of how a bill becomes a law. Right?
That's right. This is it right now. Right?
Right.
So first thing that happens is sensors data can inform all parts of that manufacturing ecosystem. And it's usually barcodes, of course, mm-hmm. is a major sensor they've got on there, or other things, right? And that when something's wearing out or it needs repair, it can be caught early and dealt with, and in turn kind of reduces maintenance kind of up to 40%. That's the first thing that sensors do. So if sensors embedded in a product of some kind, right, then all of a sudden the data is going out there early about what's going on mm-hmm. with all the maintenance stuff.
Yeah, this is how, I mean, from a FedEx standpoint, this is how you know as a consumer where your package is,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's going through different gateways and being scanned, and you know that, hey, it's, you know, close to me or it's far away or whatever, but that's the service component to it now. There's a communication or feedback loop tied to it,
yes.
even though that thing's just a box somewhere in the logistical path to you.
Right,
yeah.
But you know where it is.
That's
you
right.
can be updated about it, right? You
that's
can
right.
look for it, too.
That's
so,
right.
Number two, it can also eliminate kind of any downtime that might happen because of a big fix, right? And so, in other words, a little fix early is less expensive. And you know what? You haven't just shut your computers down for a week or, you know, not be able to use your tractor when you exactly need it,
right.
et cetera, right?
Right.
That's a big deal.
It is. And we talked about this with wind turbines.
Yes.
Right, where IoT is making a big play in wind turbines because those things are pretty big, Dave. I don't know if you've noticed.
Oh, they're huge.
They're somewhat expensive to maintain and to fix in particular. But when a sensor can tell you that something is about to break before it breaks, you know, you can get out there and maintain it as opposed to going through a lengthy and expensive repair cycle.
Yep.
So that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And, of course, the life of the product itself
mm-hmm.
just goes a lot longer. You know, for example. So, and then obviously, rather than just depending on customer feedback, this is in your world big time, right? You're actually getting information straight from the product because
mm-hmm.
there's a sensor and it's coming right to your hybrid cloud usually, right? It's coming to the cloud and you're getting that feedback right on rather than just having you depend on only on the customer experience as it's feedback to you, right?
Yeah. Again, as a designer, I love the world that we live in because we can get so much more insight directly from these devices that sometimes are more helpful even than just talking to and surveying customers.
Right. Yeah. And that's
you can actually see how it's being used.
Yeah. And you can probably compare the customer feedback to what's actually going on so mm-hmm. you can see how much reality there is.
That's right. That's right.
Impressions, right? And then the software component of products, new versions can be downloaded, obviously, and actually makes it more valuable, not less, over time. We're constantly downloading updated software, right? Because of this reality.
You know, Dave, over the weekend, so my family owns a rental property, mm-hmm. and it's IoT is making it a good time to be a slumlord, Dave.
Yes.
Right? Because it's easier now. The property we have is hours away from where we live, so it's not convenient to get to really quickly.
Right.
But now with the Internet of Things, you know, you have things like thermostats hooked up to it and locks and things like that, and mm-hmm. so you can change out codes for different renters. You can do that from anywhere.
Wow.
So it's extremely convenient, and it opens up a whole new class of commerce that way too. And this is what the whole Airbnb type of economy that's in front of us now. But I will say that when the Internet of Things goes wrong,
mm-hmm.
it's really a pain because the reason I had to go to our property this weekend was because our internet wasn't working, and therefore my locks and my thermostat weren't relaying information back too.
Wow.
So, you know, there is that, and that's the thing where, you know, there's stories out there too of like Teslas, when you drive them out into places where there isn't like cell coverage,
right?
Some things don't work and all of a sudden you might be stranded. That's a problem.
Yes.
Right? For
yeah.
all of the good things that the IoT is, you know, there are things that we need to fix.
Right on.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's redundancy needed. And we'll
yeah.
talk about that, right? So,
for sure.
And I love this illustration for me because my personality type, right? The challenge is holding on to things, right? And, you know, I'd said this before Christmas, but when I had sunglasses or gloves, my mom would never buy me good stuff because she knew it was going to be gone. So I left it somewhere, right? But this kind of technology helps that a lot, right? So find my car, find my phone. I can't tell you how many times I've refound my phone.
I can tell you.
Yeah, but you can. I hope it's not in triple figures.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, but it's wonderful because I can just push find my phone. Bam, it's right there. I can go get it. That's really helpful, right? So. We'll talk about different kind of sensors here in a minute here, but that's one of the great ways that we can go about using IoT, for
yeah.
example.
Where's the funniest place you've left your phone, Dave?
I got to think about that a minute. you know where I left it. I left it over at yoga in right on the shelves. Mm-hmm. And I thought, boy, this puppy could have been history.
You're disrupting some people's namaste.
Sure am. Especially if it starts ringing, right?
Yeah, that's not namaste.
So let's try to take an example from the automotive ministry, make this more real, huh? So let's talk about a car that needs a replacement deal, right?
Tell me. Yep, tell me.
So what's action number one? Well, action number one is it typically, before we got IoT, is the car brings the car to the dealer to diagnose the problem. So mm-hmm. you hear a clank or a plunk or this doesn't work or a light goes on, right? So you go to the dealer. That's first thing. Second thing you do is the dealer inspects it and notifies the manufacturer about the faulty part. You've probably waited many times for the faulty part, for the new part to come in.
Like they don't
always
have it
waiting. On, right?
Always waiting.
Right. Usually, it's getting obviously much better, but that's what part is. So the manufacturer then, works with a part supplier and they determine what's faulty specifically, right? And then you go from there and the part dealer and the manufacturer agree that it's faulty. They notify the dealer. Okay, that's going wrong. And then the car dealer notifies the customer. Now, okay, the part's in. Now I've driven at least twice to the place, right? And now the car owner brings the car back in, and then I got to get a car because I'm waiting for it to be fixed. And if it's not, same day.
Right.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Everyone remembers that, Dave.
I know.
Because it stinks.
It was sad. But here it is today. So let's talk about what IoT is. First thing is the IoT sensor automatically tells the manufacturer, the car dealer, and the owner. So everybody knows without even knowing a clink or a plunk or whatever, probably before that.
Or thunder, rattle, boom, 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 or whatever that's.
Right.
Yeah.
Or non-starter, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the car dealer already contacts the owner, so the owner doesn't even contact them, sets up an appointment, right? Car owner brings in the car, confirms the faulty part, but it's already, the information's already put, you know, on the blockchain, if you will. Everybody else knows. So the part might already even be there, right? We're going to get there fast. You don't have to do any checking of that because the manufacturers have already done that, right? Then comes in and car dealer replaces and you drive off.
Sounds really nice.
Doesn't it?
I wish that was today everywhere.
I know.
Yeah, I could have used that too this weekend. Like I said, I had a drive to this property we're at, and here in the Great North, it was sub-zero temperatures. And I actually haven't had this happen to me before, but my windshield wiper fluid jets, or the lines,
yep.
froze.
Oh, no, did
which
they
is
really?
A problem, because that is exactly when you need them, is when the roads are like they are now. And so I found myself pulling off every 10 miles to go to a gas station to manually, you know, wipe off my windshield.
Oh, no.
Had I had that IoT connected, you know, to my windshield wiper jet thingy,
yep.
I wouldn't have had that problem, Dave.
Right, would have been fixed.
Would have been great, but I didn't have that, and so
well, one thing I can
had
help,
suffering.
I can help your soul here, though.
Okay.
That was the second coldest week in history. 1886 is the last time we had those temperatures.
Really?
So
they didn't have the IoT
better,
back then. Okay, I'll feel better.
Anyway, so let's go. I kind of look this whole series here, because what's about to happen in this whole area is 2003. There are 500 million connected devices, but we're going to 50 billion devices really quick here. So when we get back, we're going to talk more about the big areas where this can be a competitive advantage. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
All together now. 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 All together now.
You're listening to Working with Purpose, a program dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We'll get back to more in a moment. First, I want to remind you of the opportunity to dialogue with David and Justin on these important topics. You can join the conversation, sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events and offerings, and more through their website, davidstarkcollective.com. It's davidstarkcollective.com. Or find them on Twitter, @StarkCollective. David and Justin are also available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose, and will help you go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. They team up together to advise and consult with businesses, organizations, and ministries. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and opening either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. Now, let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Well, it's all bone connected, football, football connected.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. Visit us and join the conversation at davidstarkcollective.com. Find us on Twitter at Stark Collective. Join our LinkedIn group at Business Connected. And find us on iTunes and write us a good review. Dave, we've been talking about IoT and we're wrapping things up.
Yep.
You left us with a nice cliffhanger before we went to break.
You bet.
Let's get back into it.
We're going to do four things that are big areas of competitive advantage for business leaders, even people just in business, right? So obviously, optimizing operations to increase efficiency. So you can adjust the speed and direction of cars, buses, boats, trucks for lower fuel usage. They're coordinated. You can use many fewer of each of these transportation process. So the efficiency goes way up, you know, and especially when I think about, you know, sending a load down with a truck and then you don't know if you have a load for the back and all that stuff gets eliminated because you're so connected.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a big area. You can adjust many machine parameters based on conditions that are out there, you know, high heat levels in the house or buildings. So light, heat, all that stuff gets adjusted by IoT. And what happens with that is a lot of energy gets saved.
Right. I mean, this is like the Nest thermostat. The reason why people like that is because, well, because it looks cool, but
yeah.
Also because it learns your patterns and it adjusts your energy consumption based on that.
Right.
It's pretty awesome.
Such a great kind of green part of this deal, right?
For sure. So,
and in hospitals, of course, you can locate doctors, nurses, patients right away. And they automatically know when something's going wrong, which rather than have phone calls, hopefully they're, et cetera. So second big area is avoiding threats, obviously. Any machine, appliance, things with moving parts send signals when parts are wearing down. We've talked about that to mitigate the damage, right? And so almost all maintenance is preemptive.
Mm-hmm. This is why connected toasters are so helpful.
That's right.
When those things need repair.
This puppy's going wrong.
When those things need repair, it's a big deal.
That's true. Put up to your mixer, you could put it up your whatever,
that's
right?
That's great. Yeah, and you can text from it.
So there's a big area. But also, the other places is, you know, analyze trader algorithm behaviors in the capital markets, trading firms, right? Any threats, losses, manipulations. This is a big important because there was a couple of times, of course, especially 2010, where the market lost, I don't know, was it $1 billion or more.
Yeah.
In just a very short period of time.
Yeah, stock exchange went down 1,000 points in like an hour.
Yeah. And now they could have some sensors that may at least break that pattern, hopefully. Right?
Which Let's hope.
Yes. So that's automation plus sensors to help you with it, right? And obviously, an intelligent bus can analyze video front and rear, any potential threats that might be coming on the road. I mean, face recognition is so powerful now that even the bus drivers can know what's happening.
Yep.
Right. So that's the third area is supercharging the customer experience. You know, you've got a lot of stories about this, Justin, but, you know, you can use personalized offers. Can you imagine me walking down through stores? I wonder about this sometimes in the malls, right? As you're walking by, their face recognition realizes who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then on some of the boards, billboards, et cetera, all of a sudden the offers are made to you right there based upon your preference.
It's Minority Report. It's happening.
It is.
Right? Tom Cruise walking into the Gap from like 2020 or I don't know what it'd be interesting to go back and look to see what year that was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even now when you walk into a lot of stores, they do have, and they use some sort of non-invasive facial recognition, but basically to just understand what's your approximate age and gender.
Right.
And just by using that, I mean, they don't know it's David Stark or Justin Royer. They just know it's a male around this age range. And then they can serve up an offer or an ad to you that's probably more relevant to you than just a standard non-customized ad.
Yeah. And that's a great way to get non-Amazonized in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's a way to push back.
Yeah, for sure.
And because you're getting the offer right there. Because if you see it, think I can get it cheaper on Amazon. Well, if they tee it up to you, you got a better shot of keeping it in the store. Right? So that's a big deal. Obviously, stores can also perceive negative customer experiences and quickly get to them before they leave the store.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's obviously not only one sale down, it might be a bunch of sales down if you don't get it right.
That's right. I mean, there's a big implication for IoT with customer experience in general. I mean, like I said, it's a great time to be a designer because there's so much you have in your palette to go for. There's so many more data points that you can use to design great experiences.
You bet. And number four really is deep knowledge of dense business relationships. You can grow more slowly because of physical restraints. An example is that both worlds will help us understand the differences. So what I'd like to do next, what all that means is that IoT has a combination of digital and it has something physical. So it's always interacting with both. And that's why there's a deep set of relationships involved, the manufacturers, the vendors, you know, the actual sellers themselves, et cetera. And they grow denser as you go. So we're going to see this. But I think the best way to look at digital versus IoT, just in the back half of the show, is really compare Amazon, for example, the good things that it does, with what a hybrid cloud with IoT would do.
Sure.
Okay, so I'll take the Amazon side, and why don't you take John Deere or whatever you want to use on the other side. Or let's flip-flop that. Why don't you take Amazon?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to let you take the big guy today, and I'm going to take John Deere. Okay, so why don't you start out for us?
I did grow up on a farm, so if we want to talk John Deere, that's fine, too.
Oh, that's good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, so when we talk about the differences between digital and IoT or hybrid cloud-based, I mean, before we unpack the Amazon piece, I mean, Amazon in this case is a digital marketplace or a digital ecosystem, right?
Yes.
Compared to John Deere, which we're saying is more of a product-centric or IoT-centric type of offering. So, all right, let's do a little frick and frack here, Dave.
Let's do it.
Yep. So, if I use Amazon here, so a business selling their product on an Amazon store, right? Amazon marketplace.
Yes.
Amazon really focuses on customers in you know, what they want to do. Essentially, they're a retailer at core, marketplace at core. They want to sell something, not just any particular thing, but they want to sell something. So they focus on customers.
You bet. Whereas the hybrid cloud is going to focus on all the stakeholders. John Deere's is wondering how the farmer's doing, how, you know, the people that are vendors to the tractors, you know, the people making all the parts that attach to the tractors, all these different things. They really are sending data out to all those people.
Yeah. So, with Amazon, too, again, other manufacturers are making the products that they sell. Amazon is a channel or a marketplace.
Yes. Whereas John Deere assembles the final product here that is smart, actually, right? So they're customizing kind of each data set for each customer as they go.
Amazon sells the product, Dave, and takes a percentage. They're just a middleman.
Right.
They're taking a markup.
Got it. So in this case, The each sale has to have a consultative side of it, so many people are actually going to benefit from the product sale, but it's really the service that's attached to it on an ongoing basis that includes many people.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to kind of skip around here, Dave,
yep.
on our little list, but Amazon, they don't need to treat vendors all that well.
Right.
And sometimes I've actually experienced this through my wife's own business too. The treatment that she gets sometimes isn't exactly what you would expect.
Right. Because they have such a quote unquote kind of monopoly on this.
They
whole
do,
thing,
yeah.
Right? I mean, because
they
of
have
the
channel power that's pretty incredible.
Absolutely, right. Where John Deere's got to have good relationships with the whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
So they can personalize each equipment and the attachments to each customer so that they have to treat all the stakeholders well.
Yep. So digital ecosystems like Amazon, right, they're made up of new startups who usually make the rules themselves.
Right. So here they come. Whereas most of it, John Deere specifically, they're actually dealing with companies that have been around for a while and existed, and they're actually adding capabilities and creating new capabilities, and they're going deep with each customer.
Right. So, and finally, Dave, Amazon is essentially what we would call a one-and-done platform.
Yep. And John Deere is actually trying to manage multiple actors through the hybrid cloud on a continuous service basis. They want it. They're being there. They're servicing it over time. So consequently, you can see they're both huge, right? But IoT is really wrapped in this set of relationships where a company, where it has a physical component, therefore customer personalization, therefore many stakeholders are interacting with that customer, really changing a product to a product and a service, right? Where in the digital ecosystem times, isn't specifically with Amazon, they're reselling stuff. There's a huge reselling situation, and therefore it's really a one-and-done kind of situation for them. It's
right.
Kind of a good comparison. And what's interesting is we talked about in terms of the biological image here, it really is the sensory system that's attached to all these products that have turned them into services on the IoT side. What's interesting, though, with all of that is that actually the one, first of all, as we talked about, IoT is basically additive. So, you know, a lot of the some of the digital stuff can replace human stuff. It's really additive for the most part in the IoT stream because you're able to be that customer in bigger ways. But that leads to what the big problem or we got to face is the cybersecurity goes way up when you've got every sensor as a possibility of something that could be hacked. So we're going to go into cybersecurity next. We're going to talk what interconnectivity has to do with cybersecurity in the next few weeks. We're actually going to be interviewing some people that are way up in this whole world. By the way, that reflects the immune system, which you'll see. You've been listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer today. Again, you can find us on davidstarkcollective.com. You can find us at Stark Collective on Twitter. You can also connect to us on Business Connected on LinkedIn. But also look on iTunes. You can listen to all of our podcasts. We're glad you tuned in today.